Can you hear the surprise in this text as I read today's text from John 20? Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. God's word. We're eager, Steve, to hear your words.
Holy Spirit, we pray that you would open our hearts and our eyes to new revelation, even as Mary received it and the disciples. In whatever way you want to surprise us with new understandings, new revelation, Lord, we're open to it. Amen. I'd like you to think for a minute that last week in Jerusalem, when Jesus entered triumphantly and leading up to his death and resurrection, did his disciples experience a lot of certainty or uncertainty? How would you answer that if you thought about it? The disciples that week, were they full of certainty or uncertainty? For me, I could go back and forth. I could name times when I think they were really certain and other times they were drawn towards uncertainty. What I found interesting as I thought about this is a lot of times when I would think about the times that the disciples, and not just the 12, but those who were following him, the times that they had a lot of certainty, it seemed like Jesus did something to create uncertainty in the midst of that, you know, to kind of turn things upside down and make them uncertain about what they were thinking about because they were going down the wrong path. Just some examples. Jesus' triumphant entry. There was this growing certainty that Jesus was the Messiah, and he was about to enter into Jerusalem and establish the kingdom of God. And Jesus, on Palm Sunday, as they were giving him praise, he didn't really squelch that, but yet he chooses to come in on a donkey, this humble donkey, which isn't how you would normally triumphantly enter as a king. You know, Jesus creating a little bit of uncertainty in a time when they were feeling really certain about things. He talked about the kingdom of God being at hand and how he was such an important part of that, that's central to that. So much so that the certainty was created in the disciples that in that Last Supper, they were arguing about who would be considered the greatest among them. Like, they were already working out their rank in this new kingdom, you know, certain that it was just around the corner. And that's when Jesus gets up, puts the towel around his waist, and starts to wash their feet, you know. Like, what kind of kingdom is this? Creating uncertainty in the midst of their certainty. And then he's crucified, and they're utterly disoriented at that point. Everything they thought they knew was just crushed. And that led to another kind of certainty, that Jesus is dead and that it's over. And we see that maybe most clearly in Mary Magdalene. She's there seeing Jesus breathe his last breath. She sees them take his limp body off the cross. She and other women followed as they carried Jesus to Joseph's tomb and placed him there. Like, she literally saw that he was no longer alive. And she goes out to the tomb on the morning of the first day of the week, and she sees the stone rolled away. And obviously she comes to the conclusion they must have taken the Lord's body. She runs to Peter and to John and tells them that. Goes back in, sees the two angels there who are asking why she's crying. And again, she mentions they must have carried his body away. She sees Jesus, thinks he's the gardener, and again brings up this idea of, if you've carried him away, let me know so that I can bring his body back. Which of course is the reality, the conclusion she'd come to. As I was reading that this week, I found myself saying, Mary, enough about carrying his body away, you know, but what else would you conclude with an empty tomb? She wasn't yet open to this possibility that he was resurrected until Jesus gives that personal word to him, you know, says her name, Mary, that this revelation comes to her, this understanding that he's been raised from the dead, that he's alive and that he is ascending to reign on high forever. And Mary, you don't need to cling to me. I'm not going anywhere. You know, I'm with you today and always. So Jesus opens up to Mary this unimaginable truth about his resurrection. And then she gets to announce this good news to his disciples, inviting them to let go of their certainty about his death and to be open to God's unexpected triumph over death. Jesus' resurrection introduces to us this new reality if we're open to it. And so I just want to speak on that a bit more. Are we open to new understandings in the midst of our certainties about things? And I want to step back to the big picture when we think about the resurrection of Jesus. It points to new creation. It points to how this fits into God's bigger purposes, that there will be new creation, that God is making all things new. In Revelation 21, it says, the one on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." He said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. I am making all things new." In Romans 8, Paul is reflecting on this, and he says, "I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's about to be revealed to us." For creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. All of creation's waiting for the renewal of God's children. For the creation was subject to futility, not of its own will, but of the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who are the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies, the resurrection of our bodies forever. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But we hope for what we do not see, and we wait for it with patience. And so we have this hope, and it's a living hope because of the resurrection. Paul's calling us to faith, to believe that something will happen in the future, the resurrection of our bodies. But the Lord gives us the resurrection of Jesus to actually see. Maybe we ourselves, but Mary and many others on behalf of us have been able to see that Jesus was in fact raised from the dead, that there is resurrection. And that gives us hope for our own resurrection in Him. And if we're open to that possibility, then we're also open to the possibility that even today, since Jesus' resurrection, new creation is breaking forth. Maybe not completely like that day when Jesus returns, but even now, new creation is breaking forth. You know, the stone in various situations, in various lives, the stone's being rolled back and new life is emerging even today. Today we can proclaim that Jesus is the risen Lord and that the powers of evil and corruption and death are being defeated. We can even see that today in some ways. We can believe today that Jesus has all authority and dominion. And Jesus even teaches us to pray today, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like, we have that hope that we can actually see, just like the disciples and Mary could see Jesus' body, He's alive, that in various ways we can actually see that new creation's breaking forth in this world. I read N.T. Wright when I'm studying resurrection. Like, he's kind of my go-to theologian about resurrection. He's done a lot of writing on it. And he says, because of the resurrection and because of that hope of new creation, the way we live our lives today matters. The way that God is at work in us, redeeming us and bringing out gifts and bringing out service and bringing out the fruits of the Spirit in us, these ways that new life is emerging in us today matters for all eternity. That the way God is forming us today as His people, He's going to take that and fully redeem it for all eternity. Instead of new life is emerging from us, we're becoming new people in Jesus, but then that all gets wiped away and we're resurrected and we're new creations. N.T. Wright would say, if resurrection is already at work, then the ways that new life is emerging in us today, that's going to carry into all eternity. You know, who we are, who God's made us to be. It's not going to be wiped away and we start fresh, but who we are now is going to be fully redeemed for the future. So it makes these days important. There's this idea, I hear it when they talk about new Supreme Court justices. They'll ask questions about certain laws that are settled, especially controversial ones. Like, do you believe this is settled law? Like, that it's become a precedent and that law, any new decisions that come up, you look at that law and base new decisions on that. Like it's settled in. There's the possibility in the future a court would say, you know, we don't believe that that is settled, that the way we understand the Constitution or whatever, like maybe there's new ways of interpreting. But there's these laws they look at as being settled. That's all I know about the subject. But hopefully that's enough for you to think about our lives. And we can get to this place of thinking that things are settled. Like the way I am, the way this world works, it's settled. And I can't see the possibility of anything different. I can't believe that God could break in and create something new. So that's how I'd like us to apply that today. Where are those places where we think things have been settled and God can't resurrect or bring something new in the midst of that? We might think that about certain people. You know, we have no hope that they can change, or those people, however we might categorize people, we don't see that they could act any differently. There's this line from a Michael W. Smith song, from one of his early songs, and it's, "When will I finally be the true intended me?" And what I hear in that, as he sings that, what I hear is somebody saying, I know there's something different in me that God wants to bring out. You know, when's that going to come out? When will that emerge? Because, you know, I'm trying, but I can't seem to move into that. Anyway, we might feel settled about ourselves. We might feel settled about our church, like either Whitmer Heights or the broader church, that this is how we are, and there's, either we've arrived and there's no need to change, or it's hopeless that there could be any change to be more authentic or to be more impactful or worshipful. There's missionaries, I'm sure, who for years were laboring with no apparent response and wondered, is there any hope for what I'm investing in? We can become settled either that there's no hope, or settled, in fact, there's no need for God to do anything different. We've arrived. We've figured it out. I've figured it out. But resurrection hope keeps us open to new possibilities, because new creation can always break forth. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead, impossibly it seems, happened. That resurrection power can emerge anywhere. So one of the questions that was asked in the materials that we're using for Lent is this question, and I'd like to present it to us. When has certainty of the way things are been rolled away to reveal openness to God's ways? Does anything come to your mind in your life where you were certain about something, but God somehow moved in a way that allowed you to be open to something new? Something that I thought about was back when I was about 20, I was a camp counselor one summer. I was at Camp Meneland, and it was the last week. It was junior high week, and there was this one young man in my cabin, and I would describe him, looking back, as like being rough around the edges, or wasn't your typical church kid. It's kind of how I envisioned him. And in fact, he gave me trouble throughout the week. There wasn't a lot of respect there or obedience. And I settled into this understanding of who this kid was, you know. And the last day, we're kind of saying our goodbyes and cleaning up. And he comes up to me and he gives me a hug. And he says, and he thanks me for a great week. Just totally unexpected, a surprise, like Sophia was talking about. And somehow he commented on how that the week had such an impact on him, taking part in these camp activities. And so the Spirit of God was at work in his heart in ways that I didn't see. And I didn't have the openness to believe in something different for him. Or maybe I didn't have the openness to believe that God could be at work. during this week. And so that was really important to me. I'm just reflecting on this now, like 25 or plus years later. 35 years. Yikes. there's a surprise again. So, but this is the first time I think I was ever involved in ministry, actually ministry towards other people, my sophomore year in college. And this was a real gift for me to understand how to be open, having this openness to what God could do in people's lives, and not be so quick to categorize people, you know, as far as, you know, churched versus unchurched or whatever. But just to see that we all have this potential in us. Everybody has the potential to respond to God, that all of us also have the need to repent and find renewal, you know. And it's not so cut and dried. You can categorize people over here or over here. It's not nearly so settled. Just like Peter had this openness, or learned to have an openness as God led him towards Cornelius' family. And he originally would have thought, you know, why would I go and share good news with them? But I came across this quote by Bruce Epperly. And he says, resurrection is for all. Salvation is for all. Thin places where heaven meets earth. Thin places can be found everywhere. There are no resurrection-free zones or times. Resurrection can happen anytime and anywhere. Just like there are no godless places, bereft of the all-present God. Nor can any institution claim to be the proprietor of resurrection power. No. We have it here, you know. God can bring resurrection anywhere and everywhere. And he says this in conclusion, resurrection is incorrigible in its universality. In other words, resurrection is stubborn in the fact that it'll show itself anywhere in here in God's creation. God's spirit can move anywhere. The other question that our materials asks is, when you look beyond what you think you know, what do you see then? It's this invitation to, when we think we know, when we're settled in the way things are, if you could look around the corner beyond that, might God have something even greater or different? That's where it can get unsettling, in that, there's always, God always has room to speak to us or to bring resurrection and new possibilities where we didn't think they were there. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. So I just want to conclude with reminding us of Psalm 118, which is one of our scriptures for the week, where the psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. His steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. God has become my salvation. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter in and give thanks to the Lord. So the psalmist here is saying that God has become my salvation. The God of new creation has moved and I've experienced it. And the psalmist ends with this. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, on Easter we can say this is the day. This is the day of resurrection. Nothing's going to be the same. But we can wake up every day and say, today holds the possibility that new creation is going to break through somehow. And I'm going to act in a way that anticipates that or hopes for it. Whatever I've been praying about, whatever's been on my heart, wherever I would wish that new creation would happen, or maybe ways that I might be surprised today that new creation happens. Whether it actually happens today or not, I'm ready for that possibility, and I'm going to act in that direction. That gives us a real challenge every day to say, today there's I'm going to be open to the fact that God might move, and I'm going to be ready and prepared for that. for that new that resurrection to take place. So, in some ways, it makes us unsettled, maybe, but knowing if we trust God that His ways are better and beyond our ways, we're actually opening ourselves up to God's kingdom coming, God's will being done, in ways beyond what we could ever imagine. And that's pretty exciting. So let's pray together in the hopes of this. God, we praise you as the one who is continually acting to redeem your creation out of your love. Give us the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead that in fact each day holds the possibility that you will bring new creation, that you'll bring new relationships, or you'll bring reconciliation, that you'll bring a new heart, that you'll bring a new morality, that you'll bring about changed lives or changed dynamics in this world. And even while we might groan and look forward to the day that you make all things new according to your amazing wisdom and love, keep us open to your possibilities through Jesus our Lord. Amen.